He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In 2008, country singer Kenny Chesney introduced a new song that back then became his 15th number one hit. Fan support for the song skyrocketed to Chesney fans' all-time favorite status. The song is entitled, "Everyone Wants to Go to Heaven, but No One Wants to Go Right Now." It's a fun song. Do you know this Kenny Chesney of which I speak? It's one of those songs that gets stuck in your head and you can't get it out. But basically, the song reminds us of something we already know. It reminds us of the fact that we know we all need to clean up our lives. There are things in our lives that aren't right. And we know that. No one has to tell us that. We know that. But surely there will be time later for that, somewhere down the road. Chesney's song describes a kind of tension that we struggle with in our lives. For instance, you've come this morning because you know what Resurrection Sunday is all about. But taking the message of resurrection and the power of resurrection and making that applicable to your own life is not as easy. It's difficult for us to experience that in our daily lives. And although we may say we want what resurrection morning offers us from God, we're not at all sure we're ready to make the sacrifices necessary to make his gift of love and grace personal and effective for us. It's what the Apostle Paul talked about in the New Testament, in his New Testament letter to the Philippians. In chapter 3, Paul opened his heart to the reader and expressed a deep longing that he found himself experiencing. In chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." In that passage, Paul is speaking for all of us. Who among us does not want to experience the power of resurrection? The kind of power, that same power that brought Jesus back from the dead, we'd like to know what that's like. The kind of power that confounded all of Jesus' critics and skeptics. The kind of power that defied a Roman seal and everything the Roman authorities did to silence the voice of Jesus in his ministry. But Paul in that passage goes further and says that in order to experience the power of resurrection, we must be willing to taste the death that came before the resurrection. In other words, before we can experience new life in Christ, we have to be willing to die to our selfish and sinful desires. We have to be willing to die to our former selves and put on what Jesus says is new life in him. The dilemma is this. Everyone wants to know the power that the resurrection of Jesus represents. And most of us admit we want to put on the new self sometime. It's just not what we want to do right now. In the New Testament, there's a great story about a man who came to Jesus at night and found Jesus because he was troubled and conflicted in himself. I believe he was troubled with his life. He was troubled with the fact that his day job wasn't squaring his life with what his heart was telling him was true and real. And he sensed that Jesus had the answers to his questions. His name was Nicodemus. He was a member of the ruling council of the Jews, and being a member of that council was a very prestigious position. He was considered by all around him as the guy who had the answers. Any Jew that had a question, Nicodemus would have been the guy to go to. He would have the answers. He was steeped in Judaism. He knew what the law taught, and he was able to answer for the law. But something was wrong in Nicodemus's life. And what Jesus had been doing in his ministry was starting to make Nicodemus rethink the religious order of his life. This was an order that was from childhood up. He was starting to question his religious worldview. This story in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, says that Nicodemus came seeking Jesus at night. Perhaps the demands of ministry made nighttime the only time when he could find Jesus alone. But I had to wonder, did Nicodemus come at night so that his Jewish friends wouldn't see him? Was there a sense of intimidation and fear that motivated him to look for Jesus in the shadows of the night rather than in the bright sunlight of the day? As a religious leader, Nicodemus had heard all the stories about Jesus, what he had been doing. Perhaps he had even had firsthand knowledge of some of those miracles that Jesus had been performing. But Nicodemus couldn't write Jesus off as a heretic, as had most of his colleagues, because his life was troubled. Something was bothering him. Something made him curious. Something was drawing him to Jesus. Something in him was lacking. There was a piece that was missing in his life, and it was causing him great pain. So he found Jesus and acknowledged him as a rabbi, which from his Jewish background showed great respect for Jesus as a teacher, as one who was surprisingly knowledgeable in the things of God. But before Nicodemus could launch into his questions that he had, Jesus said something that sounded so bizarre to Nicodemus. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus took charge of the conversation and directed it in a way that he knew it needed to go. Not according to Nicodemus' agenda, but his own. Nicodemus was confused at Jesus' statement and said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus was introducing a profound spiritual truth to Nicodemus, and he was the only one who had the authority to make this uncompromising statement: "You must be born again." A better rendering of that phrase might be, "You must be born from above." From the indicators here, Nicodemus had not come to a point of personal belief and faith in Jesus as Messiah. However, the inference of the text is that Nicodemus was drawn to Jesus and to what he taught, to what Jesus was saying. You see, his words were speaking into Nicodemus' life and leaving him troubled. When Jesus said those words to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," it was like breathing new life into the conversation. For Nicodemus, the idea that a brand new starting point was possible for him was not something he had ever considered. A place where he could begin his life again, a clean place to start over. You see, the idea of a new beginning appeals to everyone, but especially to Nicodemus here. What Jesus talked to Nicodemus about was a life-altering, transforming experience that Nicodemus could know peace, could know hope. In trying to discern the motives of Nicodemus when he came to Jesus, one has to believe that even in his wildest imagination, he never hoped for something so amazing as an opportunity to begin again. He never thought that Jesus was going to offer him a reboot of his life. But the conversation left Nicodemus confused and stuck. This is not what he expected to talk about that night. Nicodemus finds himself trapped in his human condition. He was trapped in a system of religious rules and tradition that had always ordered his life. They were familiar to him. They were comfortable to him. They were the only thing he had known all his life. He was unable to see beyond the boundaries of his religious world and the religious worldview that was part of him. So it leaves him wrestling with the fact that his religion had not given him the kind of peace that Jesus seemed to be offering him. Else why would he have been so troubled and conflicted, and why would he have come to Jesus in the first place? Jesus wasn't suggesting a reworking of the system that Nicodemus was already steeped in. He was talking about blowing that system up and replacing it with something completely new and different. He was talking about bringing human beings into an intimate personal relationship with himself through belief and faith in what he could and would do for them. At this point, Jesus was talking about a new life given by God himself. a breaking in of his grace, a supernatural act of bringing into reality the idea of a new creation, that you can be a different person, that you can be completely changed. He wasn't talking about an experience that would be added to an old way of thinking. He was talking about calling men and women and students and children to a brand new way of thinking about their relationship with God. A relationship that has the power to transform the way we think and what we do. A relationship that we can become passionate about because it's alive and new and real within us. In his bewilderment, Nicodemus goes on to ask Jesus this: Jesus, how can these things be? To which Jesus answered, are you a teacher of the Jews and yet you don't or can't understand the things I'm talking about? And then Jesus brings his conversation to a blunt conclusion. Nicodemus, I have told you of earthly things and you would not believe them. Now I tell you of heavenly things and you don't believe them either. Nicodemus, the weight is now on your shoulders. You have to decide what you believe about me. You have to come to a place of faith. You're the one who has to find my words and my actions trustworthy. It's an interesting principle, one that hasn't changed in all these years of history. And on this resurrection morning in 2016, it remains the same. The responsibility to believe the words of Jesus is on every individual who's here this morning. God will draw you to himself. He will make you curious at first, and that curiosity may leave you troubled. It may cause you to wrestle with your religious values that have been layered in from childhood. But in the end, the desire of Jesus is that you exercise personal faith in his finished work on our behalf. Let me put it this way. When Jesus walked out of the tomb on resurrection morning, that first resurrection morning, you were on his mind. He had you in mind when he secured a payment for your sin and mine. That's why Resurrection Sunday is a big deal. It's my number one holiday on the calendar. It's my big season. And I don't know, I don't care if grandmother did make you come today. I'm glad you came. You don't have to be here for the right reason. But this is the opportunity I have to tell you that Resurrection Sunday is about us. Jesus looked at a guy like Nicodemus and he was grieved for him. Here was a guy who was a student of the Old Testament and yet blind to prophecies that he had learned regarding the coming of Messiah. That Jesus was Messiah. But I believe Jesus was also hopeful for this guy like Nicodemus. Because he saw in him a person who was genuinely seeking truth. Jesus was hopeful because Nicodemus didn't come to him as a skeptic, but he came to him as a seeker. I believe Nicodemus really wanted to know why the voice of Jesus was so very different from the other voices that were in his ear. He really wanted to find truth that he had not found. On resurrection morning, I believe that Jesus looks into the lives of those people in this room, and he wants to see men and women and students and children who have come to church today to find answers for the gaping holes that are in our lives. And much like his conversation with Nicodemus, He invites us in. Ask your questions. Examine the evidence. Look at my record. And then decide whether I can be trusted to be your Savior and Redeemer and the friend that you've been longing for. But the conversation in John 3 wasn't over. In fact, the best part of the conversation was yet to come. Because Jesus was about to tell Nicodemus the motivation behind everything that brought him to this world in the first place. John 3, 16 through 18 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 3:16 is a New Testament anthem of hope. and possibility. With such simple but profound words, the God of the universe revealed his motivation for allowing his son Jesus to die for the sins of the world. With such a grand gesture as these simple words define, one might expect that Jesus gave those words in a discourse with hundreds of people gathered on a hillside who came to hear him preach. These were words worthy of a big crowd, a full house. But instead, these words were delivered to one man in one simple conversation, a private conversation. And his words spoke into the life of Nicodemus and asked him for a response of belief and trust. You see, the act of sending Jesus to the world was not an afterthought of God. It wasn't a last-minute emergency measure. You see, sending Jesus was a well-thought-out plan developed in the annals of eternity to meet the needs of mankind hopelessly lost and estranged from God because of sin. God's love is not an afterthought. It is his choice. God chooses to love the world. And love is at the very core of the character and nature of Almighty God. In this conversation, Jesus reveals more to Nicodemus than he knew at the time. Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, I love the world. And yes, I love the Jews. I also love the Gentiles, and I have come to secure a sacrifice that forever proves the nature of God's love for humanity. To Nicodemus the seeker here in chapter 3, he delivered a message that summarized the whole of the gospel. He laid the foundation on which man's relationship with the living God was now going to be possible. It's not a foundation that's based in judgment and condemnation. No matter what you heard growing up in the church, no matter what some other person has told you. Instead, it is a foundation that's based in the purest love we've ever known. The love of God expended in his son was extravagant. It was extensive. And it was the most expensive gift ever given because it cost the life of the sinless Son of God. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian author, describes the love of God like this. God, who needs nothing, loved into existence creations in order that he may love and perfect them. He creates the universe already foreseeing, or should we say seeing, the buzzing cloud of flies about the cross. The flayed back pressed against the uneven stakes of beams. The nails driven through the nerves of his hands. The repeated torture of the back and arms as it time after time for breath's sake hitches up. Herein is love. This is the diagram of love that he gave himself for us. On resurrection morning, I introduce you to a man who needed to have a real conversation with Jesus about his faith. And I contend that the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is a conversation that you and I need to have with Jesus as well. Every person in this room needs to allow the claims of Jesus to speak into your life and bring you to that place of personal belief and trust in Jesus as Savior of the world and as your own personal Redeemer and friend. As the one who can give you the assurance that starting life again is possible. That's what's so cool about Resurrection Morning. No matter where you've come from, no matter what you've been, no matter what baggage you carried in here today, Resurrection Morning says he can take care of it all. That is the God I serve. And that is the God I am proud to present to you this morning, the Savior of the world who wants to change our lives. I want you, as we close, to just read John 3:16 together with me. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Father, I thank you so much for this day and for these folks who are gathered in this room. And I pray that, Jesus, these words today that we've listened to, this conversation that we overheard today from Scripture, will impact us. It will cause us to wonder and question. It will cause us to look at our values and our religious standards and our religious rules and our relationship with the living God. And I pray this morning, God, if there's a person here who's still struggling with that relationship, that they will find peace and hope and promise in you. Father, bless us today for listening to your word, for letting it speak into our lives. And may we be the people you have designed us to be through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior and friend. And God's people said, amen.